offices in the church brought in that don't harmonize with the Bible and Book of Mormon. Another one showing that he tells it beforehand will be found in Isaiah, the 48th chapter, in verse 5. He says, I have even from the beginning declared it to thee. Before it came to pass, I shewed it thee. Lest thou shalt say, mine idol hath done them, and my graven image, and my molten image hath commanded them. Showing why he tells it before it comes to pass, not afterwards. If we'll turn back to Acts now to get a little bit more. The 15th chapter, I may go through these references a little fast here this morning and might not talk too long, but I want you to get an understanding that Christ tells his secrets to his servants the prophets, and not after it comes to pass, but before it comes to pass. In Acts, the 15th chapter, I'm going to read verses 12 through 18. Then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles and take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophet, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men may seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things, showing things here that God is going to do. And 18th verse says, Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now that don't say, well, he's going to do this, or he's going to that. If things come out the way they should, which we have to say once in a while among ourselves as we work, I'm going to do this or that if things turn out right. And if things don't turn out right, a lot of times we don't do it. Now, what I want you to understand out of this is that he tells his secrets to the prophets before they come to pass, and that he knows from the beginning all things. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what is going to take place and what changes are going to be made. And I want to read some scriptures that show that he foretells things beforehand. I have read to you the things which I want you to understand. And now I want to read a bunch of scriptures showing that this is right. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah, the 31st chapter. My leaf turned over here, but I still know it's in the 31st chapter. I think I do anyway. Verse 31 through 33.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Now you see, he's telling something that he's going to do. He's going to make a new covenant with them. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, though I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with them, make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Showing the covenant that he was going to make with them, shall we say, a different covenant. Showing how he was going to put it into their hearts and not be, as we understand the old law of Moses, a law of death. But that was the covenant that he made with them on Mount Sinai. And I'm not going into that so deep, but I want to show that he foretells things that are going to come to pass. Over in Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, maybe I better find Ezekiel before I try to read it, though. The 37th chapter, I'm going to read verses 16 through 19. And this foretells of our Book of Mormon, if you understand the reading. And he tells Ezekiel this: Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph and for the stick of Ephraim and for the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick. And they shall become one in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. If you understand this, the stick of Judah that he was to write is our Bible. It came from the Jew. It is a record of the Jew. The stick of Joseph is our Book of Mormon, for they came out of Joseph, came out of Jerusalem, a remnant of the seed of Joseph. And they wrote a book, and that is what we call our Book of Mormon. It was written in such a way that it contained many of the things that Christ wanted to be made known unto the people. Over in the 19th chapter, no, wait a minute. Isaiah 29:4, I want to read. Don't read the same in Ezekiel as it should in Isaiah, when you just turn back and start to read out of Ezekiel, when you should be reading out of Isaiah, don't read the same. Chapter 29, verse 4. He's speaking here of some of the house of Israel. He says, "And thou shalt be brought down, and shall speak out of the ground, and thy speech shall be low out of the dust, and thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground, and thy speech shall whisper out of the dust." To us that understand, he's foretelling that the words of some of the children of Israel are going to speak out of the ground, as it were, from the dust, to future generations. And this is foretelling how some of our record is going to come to us. Over in Isaiah, the 37th chapter, verse 32, he foretells of the people leaving Jerusalem, the ones that by study we understand are Lehi and his family with the others that came with him. And he speaks of it this way. He says, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they that escape out of Mount Zion, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this." Now, if we understand at the time that Lehi left Jerusalem, he was warned to go out from Jerusalem because of the things that were happening. And we also understand that Mulek and those that came with him escaped out of Jerusalem at the time it was besieged and taken by, I forget which king it was, showing that instead of, shall we say, one time, there was two times that a remnant left Jerusalem. But they did come together on this continent and join one to another. Shall I say, part of them. We'd have to know and go into a lot of the history to tell all that happened after they left Jerusalem and came to this country. Over in 1 Nephi tells us more of the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. 1 Nephi, the 3rd chapter, verses 183 through 186. It has shown here in the reading of the records that came through the great and abominable church, and how some was taking out some of the books that are mentioned in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon that we don't have. And he tells that after they stumble, he says, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch that I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which was plain and precious, saith the Lamb. For behold, saith the Lamb, I will manifest myself unto thy seed, that they shall write many things which I shall minister unto them, which shall be plain and precious. And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindled in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, and my rock, and my salvation. Showing that these records that they was going to write was going to be hid up to come forth in a latter time. And he tells us that in them shall be written his gospel. And when we find out by studying these things, we understand and know that the things that are written in here was written by Nephi and his descendants, and sometimes it was passed on to others that were worthy and men of God, that this record was written and then hid up while, shall I say, we've got the small plates of Nephi, which was later called the plates of Jacob, down to the reign of King Benjamin. Then we have an abridgment of the large plates of Nephi, the words of Mormon, the Book of Mormon, an abridgment of the words of the brother of Jared, which is written in ether, and the words of Moroni is what we have in this book. And it was all hid up to come forth unto us. And he foretells that it's going to be hid up to come forth. I'm going to turn over here. I don't know that I had this reference written down. I guess I don't, but I want to read two more verses here. Verses 191 and 192 in this third chapter. And after I had come forth unto them, I beheld other books which came forth by the power of the Lamb from the Gentiles unto them. Now, this is speaking of the people here that are left on this continent. Unto the convincing of the Gentiles and the remnant of the seed of my brethren, and also the Jews who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, that the records of the prophets and of the 12 apostles of the Lamb are true. Now that's what this book is going to show, that the records of the 12 apostles and the Lamb are true. And back on the other page I just read to you, where they was going to this was going to contain his gospel. And the angel spake unto me, saying, these last records which thou hast seen among the Gentiles shall establish the truth of the first, which are of the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and shall make known the plain and precious things which have been taken away from them. When this makes known the plain and precious things that were taken from this, then we've got no excuse when we come before that judgment bar of God, because we've got those records before us. And Alma tells us that we have the gospel before us. And he said, if you arrest them, it'd be to your own destruction. Not to somebody else's destruction, but to yours. Well, at the same time, One can get up here and teach those records in a wrested or twisted form, and he will deceive some. And those that are deceived, not knowing what should be taught, will be destroyed as well as the one that teaches them. For it says, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. It don't excuse us. If we are among the blind, it don't excuse us in the least. Just like if we come before the judge down here, the county judge or the district judge, and we have broke some law, you say, well, I didn't know it. I didn't know the law. It's no excuse when you come before the judge. And we're going to be in the same place when we come before the judge over there. If we don't know what's in this record that we have, it's going to be no excuse. It goes on down here from where I just got through reading. It tells us that both of these records are going to be established in one. And when we understand, as I read a while ago there, where they're going to both be established in one, it teaches the same thing over here in Ezekiel, that they're both going to be established in one. And it teaches it in several places in here. And if we can't understand that and say, well, they're separate books and they don't teach the same thing, it tells us that summer's not in this, but it tells us here that this book is going to make known those things that are not in the Bible. So we've got no excuse. I could go on down here. Maybe I better. In 2 Nephi, the 11th chapter, I might have so many references here that if I don't go and read them, I might get them tangled. But this still foretelling of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi, 11th chapter, verse 83 to 86. And after they have been brought down low in the dust, even that they are not, yet the words of the righteous shall be written, and the prayers of the faithful shall be heard, and all those who have dwindled in unbelief shall not be forgotten. For those who shall be destroyed shall speak unto them out of the ground, and their speech shall be low out of the dust, and their voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit. For the Lord God will give unto him power, that he may whisper concerning them, even as it were out of the ground, and their speech shall whisper out of the dust. For thus the Lord God, for thus saith the Lord God, they shall write the things which shall be done among them, and they shall be written and sealed up in a book, and those who have dwindled in unbelief shall not have them, for they seek to destroy the things of God. But it shows us here that the righteous are going to write these things. They're going to be sealed up, hid up, and come forth out of the ground. Just like I read over here in the Bible, in Isaiah, where there's going to speak, as it were, from the dust. Over in 2 Nephi 2, 2nd chapter, 19 through 23, tells us practically the same thing, showing that he foretells what's going to happen. As I mentioned a while ago, you caught it all or not. In the early days of our church and of those that have branched away from us, many things were brought in as belief, put forth as scripture, as well as different officers in the church being put in that are not mentioned in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon. They're not foretold. We want to watch and not partake of those things that are not foretold by Christ. Like I said a while ago, it behooves us to know what's written in these scriptures. And if he don't foretell it in the scriptures, we better take it, as they say, with a grain of salt. Because if the Lord didn't foretell it, it didn't come from him. Over in, I'm going to turn to the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi now. And he foretells in here, like I said, that the same things are taught in both books. For these two books came from two different nations. Here's the way he says it. 12th chapter, verse 67. And I'm going to read several verses. For behold, I shall speak unto the Jew, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the Nephite, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto the other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. And it shall come to pass that the Jews shall have the words of the Nephites, the Nephites shall have the words of the Jews, and the Nephites and the Jews shall have the words of the lost tribes of Israel, and the lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. And it shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered home into the land of their possessions, and my word also shall be gathered in one. Let's go back now and read verses 60 and 61. He says, wherefore I speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. Foretelling how he's going to tell the same things to one nation like unto another, and that when the two nations run together, their records are going to run together also. And they're all going to teach the same thing, because he tells it to one like unto another. Now this is foretelling how he's going to do it, and not how man's going to do it. For if we stop to realize, I'm going to just tell you one little thing here, and you all should know it. In the beginning of the church, many revelations were given, which is our Book of Commandments. Now, I'm not telling you that all that's written in the Book of Commandments was given as a revelation from God. It was supposed to be. In 1835, come out the Doctrine and Covenants. Now they had committees to get the revelations together to send to the printer. In both instances, Joseph Smith was one of that committee. We have a little pamphlet back there that says Changes in the Revelations. And I don't know exactly how many there is, but there's a lot of them. Between the Book of Commandments and the Book of Doctrine and Covenants. If there was all the Word of God in the Book of Commandments, what are they in the Doctrine and Covenants? Man changed them. It's not foretold in the Scriptures. So consequently, isn't of God. Something to stop and think about. Back in this same 12th chapter of 2 Nephi, he foretells of churches besides his. And I want to read you quite a little reading out of there. I'm going to start with verse 3, and I'm going to read through verse 12. It says, "For it shall come to pass in that day that the churches which are built up, and not unto the Lord, when the one shall say to the other, Behold, I am the Lord's, and the other shall say, I am the Lord's. And thus shall every one that hath built up churches, and not unto the Lord, and they shall contend one with another, and their priests shall contend one with another, and they shall teach for their learning, and deny the Holy Ghost, which giveth utterance." Can you see that in the churches of the world today? How they all claim to be the Lord's. And it says they're built up not unto the Lord. And how they contend one with another. And they deny the power of God, the Holy One of Israel. And they say unto the people, "Hearken unto us, and hear ye our precepts. And behold, there is no God today, for the Lord and the Redeemer hath done his work, and he hath given his power unto men. Behold, hearken ye unto my precepts. If they shall say there is a miracle wrought by the hand of the Lord, believe it not. For this day he is not a God of miracles, he hath done his work." How does that go along with where he says, "I am the Lord, I change not"? And here he tells how he's not a God of miracles anymore, and we know that in the Scriptures are many miracles mentioned that he done. But they want the Lord to be changed, and he says he don't change. "Yea, and there shall be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, and it shall be well with us. And there shall also be many which shall say, Eat, drink, and be merry. Nevertheless, fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin. Yea, lie a little. Take the advantage of one because of his words. Dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this." Now, shall we teach that as Scripture from God? But he says this church is going to be built up that's going to teach just this thing. "And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at the last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God." How many teach this? That if we do wrong, we're going to be punished so much, and then afterwards we're going to be all right in the kingdom of God. There's churches teach that. There's men that teach that. Yea, there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their work shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Now see what it says? These that I read there that they was going to teach, false, vain, and foolish doctrines. You want to read a little bit and study a little bit so that when you see these being taught, you know that it didn't come from God. But he foretells us here that that is going to be taught, and we know it is today. Tell you a little bit while I've got a few more in here. In the words of Mormon, which are just about at the beginning of King Benjamin, the first chapter, sixth verse, foretells of Christ's coming. It's also foretold in the vision of Nephi and Lehi, where Nephi saw the virgin and saw the babe, and then saw him going forth preaching, showing that Nephi saw the coming forth of Christ. Foretold by Nephi, foretold by Mormon, foretold in John, the 45th verse, first chapter and 45th verse. Over in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and the verse 12, he tells of the fourth of the fall of the church that he set up in Jerusalem. We know what happened. We know at the beginning of the Dark Ages, the church fell. And he also tells us of the restoration of his church and his gospel. Read Daniel, the second chapter, especially verse 44. It's out in Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image and of the stone that's cut out of the mountain by hands, foretelling that the church is going to be restored. We know that unless we are badly deceived, that has come to pass. And it tells us in there that it'll not be left to another people. Well, the remnant that holds on to the beliefs that are put forth in the doctrine of Christ in the Mormon, they will still have that church of Christ, which is that little rock cut out of the mountain by hand. And he said it will not be left to another people. Now what I've been trying to tell you is, and if a fellow wanted to go on and look for more references, the Bible and the Book of Mormon is full of them, of Christ foretelling different events, foretelling how his gospel is going to come to us. And it says that he knows all his works from the beginning, not just part of them. God even knows when that last day is going to be. And Christ said he didn't know, but the Father only knew when that last day was going to be. But he knows all his work, and he foretells what he's going to do or have done. I thank you.